Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing here in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 6 for the last couple episodes, which says, Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Now in our last episode, we dealt with some of the things related to the idea of Paul talking about how they could have been burdensome unto this local assembly. And as he's talking about this idea of them being burdensome, he talks about any idea of the fact that they were functioning in this role, as he defines this, as the apostles of Christ. Now, when we look at this idea of apostleship, as Paul speaks of it here, you know, one of the first things that individuals do is they twist this into the idea of, you know, that Paul was just an extension of the 12 apostles that were given to the nation of Israel. How, you know, for example, when you look back in Acts chapter number 1 and the choosing of Matthias to replace Judas, that the other apostles were actually functioning outside of what God would have them doing, because they were supposed to have waited for Paul to have been the 12th apostle. Now, if you actually read through what was going on in chapter number 1 and the idea of them choosing Matthias, you see how there was criteria that had been given on who could actually fulfill that role. And we know that Paul never could have actually fulfilled it because he did not meet those requirements. He was not ministering with them during this time. In fact, he was doing the things that were opposing what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. We also know that there was a specific role related to those apostles that were given, that they were, their role was that they were going to sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel once the kingdom is actually established here on planet Earth. So we know that there's a specific role for these individuals that they're supposed to have, and yet Paul starts speaking about himself and those who are ministering with them and identifying them as being as the apostles of Christ. Now, when we look through Paul's epistles, we see how he uses this term to describe himself and what it was that he was doing as given to him by God. Now, for example, we can go over to Romans chapter number 11, and we're going to see Paul use this term to describe himself here in Romans chapter number 11. And we're going to read here starting at verse number 11. It says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now when you see Paul using this term and describing himself in this manner, he's calling it an office that he had and saying that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. Now, that's a term when you see apostleship being talked about related to Peter and the other members that were functioning with him. You don't see them being described as being the apostle of the Gentiles. You see them functioning in that role of apostleship, and everything that they're doing is ministering to the nation of Israel. Now, when you actually look at what the term apostle means, and I'm going to use the definition that would come out of Strong's Concordance to define this word. It says, a messenger, envoy, delegate, one commissioned by another to represent him in some way, especially a man sent out by Jesus Christ himself to preach the gospel. So this is the definition of, you know, what an apostle is. And we know that, you know, from, you know, some of the studies as we've been going through here in Thessalonians, we've seen how Paul identifies that there was a gospel that was given unto him. He, you know, in three different times he calls it my gospel. And we know that the gospel that was given unto him was the gospel we find in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how a person putting their belief in that and that alone gives the individual salvation today. Allows them the fact that they already have forgiveness. The fact that sin is taken care of for them. The fact that they have the gift of eternal life. All of those things, and there are a lot more other blessings that come upon the individual the moment they put their trust in the gospel. That's the message that was given unto Paul here as he defines it as the apostle. He calls himself, in reading that verse 13 of Romans chapter 11 again, for I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And you see how in, you know, many of Paul's epistles, he, when he's beginning them, he identifies himself with that word, calling himself an apostle. You know, because this is something that he has to continually defend over and over again in his epistles, because there was much opposition to what he was doing. Because anytime God is dealing with man, there's going to be opposition that's going to come up related to God's plan being fulfilled. Now, that opposition can never stop what God is doing, but there's going to be opposition that's going to come up. The Apostle Paul faced this opposition because individuals saw how, you know, things were changing, and there was a ministry that was being given unto him, and how salvation was actually going out to the Gentile nations apart from anything to do with the nation of Israel. That's why you can see him say things. For example, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we're going to see here in this text where he's going to actually say some things related to defending his position here. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, we're going to start right at verse 1. It says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. And what was happening was individuals were going around, you know, trying to stop the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They were going out and doing everything that they could in opposition to it. You see how when you read through the epistles to the assembly of Thessalonica, that individuals were forging letters from him, trying to tell him that certain things had actually happened, to try to overthrow the faith of these individuals. You see how to the assemblies in Galatia, that he goes in, he ministers to them, and individuals follow him as he's leaving and start trying to teach the things of the law to try to put these assemblies under something that Paul never taught them. Over and over again, there are things that are being done that are in opposition to what the Apostle Paul was actually doing. We're here in 1 Corinthians. Let's turn over to chapter number 15. And we're going to see how Paul, again, is going to identify himself using this term of being an apostle here. And we're going to read verses 8 and 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, when it says, "And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe." And you see how Paul identifies himself, and even though he is viewing himself in this, you know, contrast with the apostles that were for the nation of Israel, and says about how he's the least of the apostles, identifying, says that he's not meet to be called an apostle, and he says those things because of the persecution that he was putting the church through. And when I say the church, I'm talking specifically about what he was doing with Israel's program. You see that in the early part of the book of Acts. And because he was opposing what God was doing, he says, you know, "I'm not meet to be identified in this manner." But, you know, the grace of God called him to be identified in the manner to be an apostle. And he was given the ministry to function in this manner, preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, so that way they could receive the information that was committed unto him. Now you see how Paul will even identify the fact that the signs that were given to him in that manner. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, where we're going to see him make a reference to this idea here. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, we're going to start here, verse number 11. It says, "I am become a fool in glory. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds." So we see how, as Paul's talking about this idea of being an apostle, you see how he's tying this in with the idea of that there were signs that were associated with him being an apostle. So we're already getting an idea of, you know, how, you know, is this even something that could possibly be in place today, to where somebody could be identified as being an apostle? Because Paul's saying that there were these various signs that were there. The signs were part of this because individuals had to be able to identify the fact that God was dealing through him and was giving information out that was the word of God. And the only way that individuals knew that at the time was because they saw the signs that accompanied those that were ministering to the nation of Israel. And so the sign gifts had to be given to the individuals in the early part of the body of Christ to be able to identify the fact that God was dealing with them, that God was ministering through them, and that this was truly something that was just not being made up by Paul or those that were actually ministering with him. And we see here, let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And again, we're going to see him, you know, continuing even in his later epistles, he's still having to defend this idea of who he is and this role that he had among the body of Christ here. And in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to start here, verse number 3. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, as you look at this, you see how Paul starts with this, the issue of the Lord Jesus Christ, identifying him as being, you know, the mediator between God and man. He talks about what the will of God is, that, you know, God's will is that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And with those two things in mind, that's where Paul's saying that I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. He was given this ministry to be able to go out and proclaim the message of the dispensation of the grace of God to this world, so that way individuals in this dispensation would truly understand what God is doing. Now, when we look at even his very last epistle that he wrote, we see that he's still continuing to have to keep bringing up the role that he has. Now let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We're going to see Paul actually say this here in this chapter. We're going to start here at verse number 8 of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And so you see Paul, as he's, you know, talking to Timothy here and trying to encourage him to remain faithful. And he's having to do this because Paul is seeing all these individuals who, as they've seen Paul get thrown into prison or seeing all these bad things that are happening, they've started backing away from standing for the truth of the message for individuals today. And so he's having to tell Timothy, be not ashamed of these things. You know, don't be ashamed of Paul. Don't be ashamed of the message. Don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He, again, focuses on the idea of, you know, in verse 7, through the gospel. So he's taking it back to the gospel messaging. And then says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. That because of this gospel message, this is why he's being identified in this manner of being an apostle. And as you remember back to, you know, our definition of it, you know, an individual who's a messenger, an envoy, you know, someone who's commissioned to represent someone in a manner, you know, carrying out what words are supposed to be said. You know, that's why you even see how Paul uses those terms to describe individuals, you know, of being that, you know, the ambassador for Christ, carrying out the ministry of reconciliation. All those different things that he says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 that are part of what we're supposed to be doing tonight. And I have to bring this up in that manner because individuals would be looking at saying, well, you know, Paul's identifying himself as being an apostle. He's identifying that there were other apostles that were there. You know, and by the fact that our text is saying, you know, being written by Silas and Timothy as well, that, you know, apparently they must have also been functioning in this role. And if there were individuals functioning in that role during the early part of the body of Christ, shouldn't there be people functioning in that manner today. You know, because God's will is that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So it's, you know, kind of a logical thought to start looking and saying, well, shouldn't there be people functioning in the role of an apostle? Now, Paul addresses that in his epistles when he starts talking about these things that are actually gifts. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 4, to where Paul's going to speak about these gifts that were given here. And in Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to read here starting in verse number 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, what Paul's identifying here is that there were individuals that were given these gifts. You know, some were given the gift of being an apostle. Some were being given the gift of a prophet. Some were being given the gift of an evangelist. Some were given the gift of a pastor. Some were given the gift of a teacher. And verse 12 is identifying the reason why those gifts were being given. Verse 13 identifies the fact of when those gifts were actually going to end. And he says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So there was a time that Paul is identifying that all five of those gifts that are laid out in verse 11 are actually going to end. Now, a lot of times individuals will look at this text and they'll end several of these gifts, but then they'll say that the other ones are still going on today. You know, and you know, if one of them is still in place, then all of them would still have to be in place. You know, it's not a thing of, well, Paul ended a couple of these, but the rest of them are still going on. You know, they're either all or none going on. And when Paul says, "Till we all come into unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ," we have come to those things. And I know sometimes it doesn't feel like we've come to there, but the Word of God is complete. And by the fact that we have a completed Word of God, we have the information that would have the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, what could bring us to a perfect man, the measure of the stature or the fullness of Christ. And because we have that, those gifts that he's saying, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, all of the, you know, all of those things are no longer gifts. You see how Paul in his letters to Timothy actually starts setting up that idea. When he starts talking about the idea of an individual taking over the leadership of a local assembly, he identifies the fact that a person desires a good work. He doesn't say, well, you know, you're desiring to have this position and, you know, if you're going to have it, God's going to give you that gift. He says that a person desires that good work. Then he lays out a number of things that a person is going to have to do in order to prove themselves that they could function in that role to take care of a local assembly. You see how Paul talked about the idea of an evangelist. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. You know, it's no longer going to be a gift. He's going to have to work at this. He's going to have to be doing some things to make sure that he's continuing to function in this manner. You know, these gifts are not in place, and you know, they've ended today because we have a completed Word of God. So nobody can be functioning in that manner of being an apostle tonight. Now, it was a very good thing that we had those individuals in the very beginning of the dispensation of grace to be functioning in that manner. So that way the word of God could be going out. There could be assemblies that were building up. There could be the edification of the believers happening. But once we have that completed word of God, which we do, the gifts are no longer necessary. And individuals need to actually be functioning in the roles that the Apostle Paul truly lays out and says that these are how we're supposed to be functioning. And he doesn't call and say that we're supposed to be apostles. He identifies the fact that we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. Now, in our next episode, we're going to actually start verse number 7 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. We have audio files of our Sunday messages that are, you know, uploaded to the website. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. We have a bunch of study articles that you can read on our website as well. Always remember, if you ever have any questions or comments about anything in these broadcasts, anything that you see on our website, anything you ever hear in our messages, we would love to hear from each and every one of you that has a question. And so until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.